Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. What a week last week. What a weekend. We got a lot to cover this morning, you guys. So we've got economies that are starting, cities and countries that are starting to relaunch their economies. So people are starting to gather. And then this last weekend, we saw that gathering turn into some protests. I think that's going to start to impede some of the economic recovery if it continues. But we had it in Indianapolis, I think on, was it Friday and Saturday, Charlie?
It was, and a little bit Sunday too.
But I know that cities like Minneapolis, Chicago, New York got much more active. We also saw GE selling its lighting division. That's the last link to Thomas Edison for General Electric. And then I don't know if you guys saw it, but the SpaceX launch, man, that was so cool on Saturday. And so we launched the Falcon 9 in two, they weren't NASA astronauts, but two astronauts to the space station. So that was pretty cool. And I'll tell you guys what amused me more than anything was reading the chat. As it launched, you could read the chat, and the debate on the chat going up was whether the Earth was round or flat. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I just was laughing because everybody would go, confirming the Earth is flat. No, it's round. And this was international, by the way. So I thought that was pretty funny. All right. So we got some things to cover here. The Federal Reserve. Let's start with the Federal Reserve. And I want to talk about China and Europe because this is a global issue. And this is going to affect a global recovery and it's going to impact the United States. So first, the Federal Reserve. So we've pump money, obviously, $4 trillion into stimulus. The stimulus is not the recovery in and of itself. It's just the grease that lubricates the economic machine. So that is that's a lot of grease. Part of that grease provides support for the Federal Reserve to purchase credit, to purchase corporate bonds, both investment grade and high yield, which it started to do in May. And I think they announced, did they announce this morning or last Friday that they purchased of the, all the bonds that were purchased, I think it was over $1 billion. And it was, 15% of it was in, over 15% was in high yield. So now we've got the Federal Reserve, buying corporate bonds onto its balance sheet to help support not just the risk-free rate, but also the credit rate. So that is a real initiative, aggressive initiative for our Federal Reserve to start to do that. So what we would say is this is a new monetary regime that we are operating in. And we're 10 years into it since the financial crisis, because the Fed used its balance sheet back then also to support lowering interest rates across the curve. And I think we're going to see just a much more aggressive use of its balance sheet to help support just economic stabilization. Two other things happened last week, and then I'll turn it over to Freddie. One was the move with Hong Kong. And we saw last year the demonstrations and the protests in Hong Kong for democracy. China took steps to take more control, at least the United States viewed it as that, and this last week. And so they're in the process of revoking the special status that Hong Kong has. So in 1997, when Britain moved Hong Kong back to Chinese control, China agreed to a 50-year period where it would just exist as a democracy alongside of communist China. So it was one country, two systems. And so China has taken steps really to exert more control over Hong Kong. And this is going to impact the ability for Hong Kong to keep that trading status that it has. And then as a financial center, not sure that it really jeopardizes it. Hong Kong as a financial center right now depends on what the world does with this, but this is just the United States. And I think it's just one more example or pawn in the deteriorating relationship between the U.S. and China. One other note is the European Central Bank, and this is important also, is that they've initiated a stimulus program, and they're looking to issue euro-denominated debt. We talked about this last time, and it's an important initiative because the European Central Bank it operates not like the Federal Reserve Bank. It doesn't have the same powers as a central bank because it's more of a co-op, but they are tasked with maintaining price stability of the euro and preserving the purchasing power of the currency, but they don't have the common taxing authority and the common debt issuance that the United States has as a federation. So this is going to be a real test of whether they can actually pull the European Union countries together. But to just have a single currency, we've always said that's problematic because they don't have the taxing authority and the debt issuance. So they are pushing now for debt issuance just as a way to provide stimulus relief to the country because of the pandemic. So a very, very complex set of issues that are coming to us on a Monday morning. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Freddie.
Thanks, Greg. So last week, the S&P closed out the month of May with a 4.5% gain. The NASDAQ finished with gains of 6.7%, and even the Russell 2000 finished with gains of 7%. But it was an interesting week. The tech sector, as we know, has shown the most relative strength for the year. But last week, we saw more strength in beaten down sectors. Energy and materials are now trending up over the last 2 months. And last week, financials and industrials broke out and brought in the stock market rally. Both sectors were up over 6% just last week. So we're seeing a little bit of a shift from momentum tech plays towards more beaten down areas. However, we still feel that names that have been working are going to continue to perform. Technology and healthcare sectors have both reported solid earnings in the environment and have even raised guidance. So if there's any weakness in the markets, I believe these offer places for opportunity as the recovery has been driven by the stay-at-home theme, and we believe that will only continue to strengthen. So you can find most of our top plays in our focused growth portfolio, which has outperformed the S&P by 18% year-to-date. Some of our top holdings include Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, Google, PayPal, and Adobe, which have all been solid COVID plays where their business model was unaffected. They never had to close business operations, and they actually remain beneficiaries of the increased demand in their products. And I also, before turning it back over to you, I want to highlight that two of our Winthrop equity strategies received PSN Top Gun Awards for performance in the first quarter. Our large cap blend strategy was awarded 4- and 5-star ratings, and our focused growth equity strategy was awarded 1- and 2-star ratings. So very proud of the team here.
Yeah, congratulations. And, so the large cap is, that's a 5-year number, right? That 5-star represents 5 years of performance.
Yeah.
And the focused growth was for its 1-year number.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I want to come back, and I don't know if it's this, if we have time this week or next week, but 5 stocks that we look at that are going to play in the recovery. And Adam, I know you've been doing some work on that. We talked about that last week, but do you guys have a thought on how to play the recovery? I mean, the stocks that we've invested in have been heavy tech, so they've weathered the storm, but there's parts of the stock market that have been beaten down pretty bad. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think we'll have more specifics next week. But I think what it comes down to is there's a lot of stocks that have kind of been thrown out, that baby with a bathwater type mentality, where if you're in the wrong sector, it kind of doesn't matter, you know, what you're doing, what your earnings look like. You may be down 25% or more. You know, we were looking at Live Nation. We were looking at Tyson Foods. You know, I know they've got their issues, but I don't think anyone's stopping eating chicken. So yeah, those are just examples of where you've got, you know, revenue streams going to continue, business models that are going to continue.
Yeah, we talked even about Ford and Delta. Ford people are going to have to buy cars. The average age of the car on the road now is just increasing. And the airline industry is going to get some support. It's not going away. So how that looks going forward. Talk about credit, Adam. We've got $1 trillion that was issued so far this year. That dwarfs annual issuance. How's that impacting what's going on in the bond market?
So, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was putting stress on the bond market. Spreads were definitely widening. If you weren't a new issue, if you weren't playing in the new issue markets, it was hard to get any performance. But the last 2 weeks, it's been lighter. I mean, it's still heavy. I mean, last week was still, what, $40 billion or so, Charlie? But the names are smaller names. So you're seeing the generic go-go, big, large cap issuers tighten in. So last week we were tighter by 10 basis points again. So just over the last 2 weeks, you know, the index is tighter by 25 basis points. So investment grade credit really is performing.
Any changes that you see in the portfolios this week?
I think we continue to move up in quality. Part of that is moving into industries, as we're talking about here, that can weather the storm. We obviously like technology. We've held Oracle here and continue to hold it, even though it's tightened, you know, over 40 basis points. I think names like that that can weather are better places to be as we come back to tights versus, you know, your real cuspy credits. It may be enticing to go and reach for a delta at plus 600, but right now I think just staying in that up and quality trade is the place to be.
Okay. What about models before we shift into high yield?
Yeah.
What do you guys think about what we've talked about in the models is building a defensive position. The equity market, in our opinion, is overvalued right now, especially given the outlook for a slow recovery. We're ahead of ourselves. What do you do in a model to help protect the principal in the model?
Yeah, to kind of put some numbers behind that, I mean, it's easy when you look at the Russell 2000, the MSCI, EAFE, they both lag the S&P 500. But then when you peel back the onion, you see that actually their PE ratios are jumping up. So the Russell this last week is now at a 52 times earnings. That's a five year high. The MSCI EAFE is trading at 22 times earnings. So it's now actually more expensive than the S&P 500, despite lagging. And then obviously the S&P 500 is just, you know, skyrocketed, and now it's trading at 21 times earnings. So yeah, I agree with you. Things are definitely looking frothy. So we're still moving towards that same idea, lower volatility strategies. Value and high dividend have lagged as well, if you're looking at factors. So right now, those are the only places that still look relatively cheap to the market. Plus, you get that defensive play with a higher dividend. I think the biggest thing to be careful with dividend strategies are a lot of them tend to tilt towards overweight energy because that's where the higher dividend is. But those dividends are not, you know, sustainable. So I think paying attention. We like the Schwab D dividend ETF. It's very low energy, so it's finding the dividend and, you know, utilities, staples, things that dividend is sustainable.
Yeah, I think this the theme that we're going to have going into the second half of the year here is that this is going to be a slow recovery, and we are going to see an increase in bankruptcies and also stress in the commercial mortgage loan market. So in real estate, we haven't begun to see that yet because the stimulus money went to go pay rents. That's kind of run its course now. And so as businesses are slow to kind of get it back up to capacity, it's going to put some real stress, I think, into the business sector. So I got to believe that we're going to see more pain coming in the second half of the year with increased bankruptcies. And it's going to put pressure in that leverage loan market and into CLOs. With that, Charlie, I'm going to switch over to you on the high yield side and your thoughts on this week.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. So last week was a cap to a really strong May for high yield credit investors. The index tightened over 35 bips with risk outperforming safety. So that makes the last 2 weeks, we've tightened in over 100 basis points. And now we're only sitting 300 wide of year-end 2019 levels, which is a pretty far cry from the roughly 725 back in March. So pretty remarkable to see how quickly we've kind of returned to even a somewhat normal high yield universe. And so my thoughts here is they echo what Adam said. So we've had a lot of technical pressure spreads out with high yield credit supply coming to market. And as that begins to taper off in these summer months, I still expect high yield to tighten further, barring any sort of cataclysmic bad news in reopenings and vaccine development. Big thing I wanted to highlight is that retail investors continue to be pretty bullish on junk credit. Fund inflows were significantly positive for a ninth straight week. So those inflows topped $6 billion into high yield mutual funds and ETFs last week. I think it's really important to highlight this because, as you spoke about before, the Fed has been buying corporate credit. And so the numbers that I saw is that the Fed has purchased $3 billion of both investment grade and high yield ETFs over the last 3 weeks. But as I said before, retail investors have bought $6 billion in high yield alone last week. So the Fed may be greasing the wheels here, but it's still investors who are kind of pushing the cart. So on to the primary market. So it still has been robust, but is slowing down. $12 billion in volume came to market last week. This was the third busiest May recorded. The real story was Macy's. So they upsized their offering by $200 million to $1.3 billion last week. It was a five-year note that came at 8 3/8 after initial price talk being closer to 8.5%. And so demand has remained for this bond. They're now this morning trading at a premium. 101 was the bid that I saw. The issuance was rated double B by credit agencies, despite being backed by real estate collateral, which I think was somewhat surprising. But the collateral did not include their famous Herald Square property over in New York. So this is something to keep looking at, especially as it pertains to the retail sector. This is probably not the end of issuance for May. So they're expected to negotiate a new bank line backed by inventory. So I'll be curious to see what happens with their debt and how it kind of shapes the rest of the brick and mortar retail world. In other new issuance news, you saw a lot of healthcare companies come to market last week. That includes Molina, DaVita, and Ortho Clinical Diagnostics. And a real quick note before I give it back to you, just wanted to highlight energy markets as it pertains to high yields. We see energy having a big sort of effect on spreads in high yield. So WTI crude oil rose 7% last week and now sits just above $35 a barrel, which is a pretty good mark considering we were actually negative, about a month ago. So with that increase in oil prices, we have seen recovery in a lot of the high yield credit names. So Apache, Continental Resources, Occidental, all their credits rose last week despite many of their equities being down. I think I saw Apache was one of the losers. So energy markets will be somewhat important to watch this week. OPEC Plus has a meeting where it's expected to increase July production by 2 million barrels a day. The efforts in the United States to cut production has been pretty successful. So we'll have to see if this kind of negates everything and sends us back down, or if we're doing enough that prices will continue to inch on higher. That's everything I have in high yield.
Right. All right, you guys, we went a little long. I'm going to close us down here. You guys have a great week, and it's going to be another interesting week. I can tell already. All right, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.